helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel. Freedom of speech is one of the cornerstone rights in America, along with the right to peaceably assemble, emphasis on peaceably. For that reason, I have no problem with pro-Palestinian organizations expressing themselves. However, that does not give them the right to be on private property against the will of the owner. Neither does it give them the right to threaten others while they're at it. Who is responsible for the actions of the protesters? And who is responsible for defending both their rights and the rights of others? Hello there, everyday Americans. Paul Engel here with the Constitution Study, where we read and study the Constitution, teach a rising generation to be free. Of course, in the news lately has been the on-campus brouhaha that started at Columbia University and seems to have metastasized like a cancer. And again, I vehemently disagree with the pro-Palestinian movement, with their agenda. I think their facts are not supported by evidence. Their quote unquote facts. Their agenda is abhorrent. Their rhetoric is beyond ridiculous. But in a free country, they have a right to not only hold those positions, but to express them. But the limit of those rights is when they infringe on the rights of others. And that's kind of what we've seen in this, what have been going on here, both again at Columbia University and others. Now, we've also seen the fecklessness of many of these universities and their leaders to actually deal with these problems. Again, not the expression of ideas, but the creating of camps, the threatening of others. Who is responsible for defending the rights? Again, the rights of the protesters to peaceably assemble and express their ideas, and the rights of the rest of society to not have their private property taken, their lives or safety threatened, and to simply be able to go about their lives at liberty without being infringed upon by a group of people who don't like them. Now, what I find most interesting from a simple, educational standpoint is how many of these people make some of the most ridiculous statements and don't see the irony in them. Look, for example, there's a person who's identified as a leader of the protests at Columbia University, and they posted this video.
If we can agree as a society, as a collective, that people, that person, some persons need to die if they have an ideology that results in the death of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions. If there are people like that who exist, shouldn't they die?
See, this is why I love freedom of speech. I know there would be people who would shut this person up. Don't allow them to speak. No, allow them to speak. Look at just how stupid this person's argument is. So you're telling me that if there are people who believe in genocide, in killing others, hundreds and thousands of others, shouldn't they die? Well, if I were to take him seriously, which by the way, I don't, doesn't that mean that the Palestinians, the pro-Palestinians, they should be killed? Because I don't know about you, but if you look at a little bit of recent history, the invasion was by the Palestinians that killed 1,400, 1,500 people that were no threat to the Gazans in any way, shape, or form. But if he's correct, if he actually believed what he said, well, then we should be able to go and find all these people that are threatening the Jews on campus at Columbia and other universities and kill them. Because that's what he just said. Now, the idea that we as a society agree that there are certain people too that need to die. I hate to tell you this, but society as a whole doesn't think the quote unquote Zionists, the Jews, need to die. No, it's ridiculous. Let's listen to a little bit more, because we can learn a lot from this gentleman.
Zionists, they're Nazis. They're Nazis. They're fascists. They're supporters of genocide. Why would we want people who are supporters of genocide to live?
Wasn't it the Jews that the Nazis were trying to destroy? Was it the quote-unquote Jewish problem that the Nazis were trying to deal with the death camps? And again, if your standard is, well, this group wants other people to die, you just gave me evidence about why you should be killed. But again, that takes rational thought. That takes reason and logic, which seems to be beyond the capability of this particular gentleman. He's full of hate.
I'm confused. Someone in the chat right now. Should people who are supporters of genocide, should Zionists, aka Nazis, white supremacists, should they live?
I'm sorry, you're not confused. You're hateful. You're racist. You're bigoted. And I want to hear more of this. Why? Because I want people to see not only how hateful you are, how racist you are, but how incredibly stupid you are. Because by your own standard, we should be hunting you down.
Zionists, along with all white supremacists, need to not exist because they actively kill and harm vulnerable people. They stop the world from progressing.
Wasn't it Hamas that attacked vulnerable people that have stopped the Middle East, the Israel, from progressing by refusing to be willing to live peaceably with their neighbors? This is why I love letting people talk, because they prove just how evil and dangerous they are. And again, their unwillingness to look in the mirror and see exactly what they're calling for is exactly who they are. So let me bring you one more piece from this person's diatribe.
And so be glad, be grateful that I'm not just going out and murdering Zionists.
Actually, I think he should be glad that we don't treat him exactly how he wants to treat others. That the very people that he's threatened, he says, well, I've never committed a murder. Sounds like you want to. But we should be very glad that the people who he is willing to kill are not doing to him what he wants to do to them. I guess he never learned that golden rule, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Not surprising. My guess is, since he's listed as a leader of the protest at Columbia University, he's probably a college student, which means, all right. So I think this shows what passes for education at Columbia and other quote unquote elite universities. I say quote unquote because I'm sorry, there's nothing elite about these universities. Columbia University has been feckless in dealing with these people. Columbia is a private university. They have private property. And when you have threats against their students, when you have a rabbi that says, hey, if you're Jewish, don't show up at school, when the school itself goes to remote learning because of the threats and the danger to their students, and all you do is say, you better stop it now. I mean it this time, you really better stop it now. It's useless. Columbia University set a deadline. They had a 48-hour deadline for the protesters to leave. And when the students ignored the deadline, Columbia University did nothing. And let's face it, why would the students leave? Why would they actually remove these this camp, this tent city? Why? Why'd they leave? Nobody believed that Colombia would actually do anything. I mean, it's not like there's an expectation that they would provide a safe campus for all of their students. No, why would anybody expect that from Columbia University? I understand these universities, they're not worried about the safety of their Jewish students, except for the fact that it might impact their donations. It might not look good for them, but they're not really too willing to do anything about it. Well, actually, no, that's not entirely true. Columbia University did take a stand. They refused to divest from Israel. Yeah, see, one of the little, pet the demands from this petulant group of overgrown crybabies was that Columbia University divest from Israel. I don't know what Columbia University is invested in. My guess, if they're invested in these companies, it's because it's profitable for them to do so. And unless these companies have done something criminal, there's no reason for Columbia University. But what we're dealing with is, again, these come off as petulant children. How do I know that? Well, because they regurgitate things that they've heard, and they never bother to check to see if what they've heard is true. Take, for example, this question that Representative Ilhan Omar answered.
How do you think this will translate to the Jewish students who are facing anti-Semitism here on campus?
So I actually met a lot of Jewish students that are in the encampment. And I think it is really unfortunate that people don't care about the fact that all Jewish kids should be kept safe and that we should not have to tolerate anti-Semitism or bigotry for all Jewish students, whether they are pro-genocide or anti-genocide.
Now, I wonder, has Representative Omar actually talked to any Jewish groups on campus that are pro-genocide? Or they simply consider pro-genocide because they don't like they want Israel to fight back when they've been attacked. I mean, the we simply throw out that I've heard it for decades that Israel is committing genocide, yet no one's ever actually showed any proof of the genocide. They said, well, Israel attacked Gaza in response to being attacked by Hamas. Israel shot near this hospital because that's where Hamas was hiding. They were hiding weapons there. They were hiding commanding. Israel went after this school. They were hiding hostages there. Again, I'm not saying Israel is pure as a wind-driven snow. Israel has made mistakes. But simply throwing out the word genocide in order to get sympathy for your cause literally shows just how ignorant and feckless you are. I have no reason to believe Ilhan Omar when it comes to the claims of genocide, because she's provided absolutely no evidence and has frequently simply lied about the actions of others to promote her agenda. See, one of the things I teach, I start in the boot camp for the Patriots program, is this ability to look at statements and verify if they're true, or at least put some level of faith in what they're saying. Don't simply believe something because somebody said it. They really need facts and evidence. And as I said, I teach this in the boot camp. I have the Patriots program, which includes education and communication, as well as activation. And looking at some new programs, but it's an invitation-only program. To get the invitation, you have to take the boot camp. Now, the boot camp is free. It's a 1 hour video, although I'd be willing to do it live if I can get enough people to be involved and engaged. I'll do another live one and be happy to. But you'll learn things like, how do you tell when someone's telling the truth or not? Is it true simply because somebody said so? Is it true because somebody claims they read it somewhere? How do you tell the truth? How do you vet what people are saying? How do you build an argument that will withstand scrutiny, withstand a real fact check, not the phony fact checks we have? So please go to constitutionstudy.com/patriots. Find out more about the program. If it seems interesting, or if you just want to give it a try, take the free boot camp. At the end, you pass the test. If you want, you'll get an invitation to join the Patriots program and join us there. So again, that's constitutionstudy.com/patriots. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm a busy boy. I got a lot going on. And, you know, sometimes I get to the end of the day and, you know, my mind is toast. I've got work to get done, but I'm having a hard time focusing. That's when I reach for something that'll boost my short-term focus, increase my long-term brain power without sugar and caffeine or chemicals. What do I use? Healthy Cells Focus and Recall Vitamins. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, vitamins. They do a wonderful thing. Now, as an America Out Loud listener, you can get 25% off your first order of Focus and Recall or anything from Healthy Cell. Simply go to AmericaOutloud.shop and look for the Focus and Recall ad. It's got all the details. You need to use a code OUTLOUD when you check out, but you can find all the details there at AmericaOutloud.shop. So again, head to Healthy Cell. Check out Focus and Recall and all of their wonderful products. But be sure to use that code OUTLOUD at checkout. It lets them know that you listen to America Out Loud. As a thank you, you get 25% off your first order.
In 2008, people could spend an average of 12 seconds on a task without becoming distracted. 5 years later, it was only 8 seconds. The digital age is narrowing our attention span. Trouble concentrating or recalling information is frustrating, embarrassing, and kills productivity. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created Focus and Recall to boost your brain power. And unlike other supplements that don't work, Focus and Recall is not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients to help you immediately sharpen focus, concentrate longer, and strengthen recall. These physician-formulated gels come in a small gel pack. Tear off the top, shoot it down. Thousands of 5-star reviews proves it works. Supercharge your brain and see the difference. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit HealRight.com/OutLoud or AmericaOutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
You already know Genesis plus HOCL is your best defense against viruses. But did you also know it's the most powerful weapon for eliminating airborne mold too? Customers are raving about the Genesis Fogger's ability to tackle mold problems and the bad smells that go with them. And we all know mold is a hazard to your health. There's no airborne invader that Genesis can't handle. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud to receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you're ready for anything.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study. Today, we're talking about freedom of pro-Palestinian speech and really what should be the reactions to the demonstrations. Who's responsible for protecting both the rights of the speaker and the rights of others when these groups that allegedly peaceably assemble become not so peaceable? Again, we focused the first segment on Columbia University, where this all started. And of course, you have to point out that Columbia University is a private university. Its property is private. And that means that the demonstrators don't have a right to camp there. But it also means that, you know, regardless of private or public, they don't have the right to threaten the lives of others. And they're, you know, when the university basically shuts down in-person teaching because of threats to students, there's a problem going on. And as I said earlier, this problem is spread. It's metastasizing like a cancer. Really shouldn't be that surprised. It's happened before. Anybody remember? Well, maybe you don't remember the 1960s. I barely remember the 1960s. I was a young boy at the time. But we should all be aware of the campus unrest that spread campus to campus. So we shouldn't really be surprised that what happened at Columbia University has spread. In fact, one of the places it spread to was University of Southern California in Los Angeles. Now, what's interesting is, unlike Columbia, USC President Carol Folt seems to have taken this a little more seriously. Now, she described the unrest on campus as heartbreaking, but that didn't stop her from doing something about it. For example, she sent a message to the USC community saying, no one wants to have people arrested on their campus, ever. But when longstanding safety policies are flagrantly violated, buildings vandalized, Department of Public Safety directives repeatedly ignored, threatening language shouted, people assaulted, and access to critical academic buildings blocked, we must act immediately to protect our community. I agree with just about everything she said there, with the exception of never wanting people arrested on campus. I believe there's a place when people should be arrested on campus, and it seems like this is one of them. She went on to say, USC has longstanding protocols that allow for peaceful protesting, and we've been working successfully with our community to ensure these rules have been followed at gatherings, protests, and vigils taking place all year. USC also has firm rules regarding harassment and bullying that we will uphold. Now, this brought to mind, the meeting where Lee Stefanik asked presidents of three universities if certain calls were within their acceptable behavior within their school. And I was not happy with Ms. Stefanik. I thought it was a setup. It was a baiting into making a position to deal with a hypothetical situation. You know, I wasn't happy with it. But here we have the president of USC saying, listen, we have threats, we have vandalism, we have assaults. This is every scenario where, yes, something needs to be done, and it really needs to be done quickly. That is the mistake that I believe Columbia made, because once you let the spoiled child get away with it once, it's harder to punish them the second time, and it just gets worse and worse and worse. I must be surprised. I was a little surprised that USC stood up so quickly to this. I'm happy. Don't get me wrong. I think it was the right thing to do, but the idea of, yes, as long as you're peacefully protesting, but there are things we will not allow on campus. And if it means we have to send in the police to arrest people, then we'll send in the police to arrest people. Now, there's actually a little more to this story, which I didn't realize at first. And that is the class valedictorian. They're coming up to commencement. The class valedictorian, Anasna Tabassum, was barred because she's listed as a pro-Palestinian individual, that she's been barred from the commencement coming up in early May. And in fact, now the school has canceled the entire main stage commencement event. This is not a small deal. I guess approximately 60,000 people a year generally show up to this event. Now, was it the pro-Palestinian message? Was it part of that message? I don't know why why the school denied Ms. Tabassum the ability to speak at commencement. With all the agita, with all the pro-Palestinian uprisings, I could easily see where the school said, let's not throw gasoline on this fire let's find someone else, or let's just cancel the commencement, the public commencement completely. Now, another university that has basically stood up and prevented this from growing and expanding like it did at Columbia was the University of Texas at Austin, making sure that the rules about demonstrations were clear, that, you know, you have a right to speak, you have a right to peaceably assemble, but if you don't, if you go too far, we're going to do something about it. They made sure they had enough personnel. They were clear in this is the expectation, and if you violate it, this is what's going to happen, and then they followed through. And I think that's the important part. That's what Columbia didn't do. Columbia said, here are our lines in the sand, but we're not going to actually enforce them. Now, I keep referring to these overgrown children as overgrown children because that's the way they're acting. And because of that, I think they need to be treated to a certain extent that way. Meaning, here are the rules. When you break the rules, you get punished. And if you're going to, you know, stamp your feet and whine and cry, I really don't care. The fact that it takes state police, in the case of Texas, to deal with it is not the university's fault. See, this is the other thing that I see so often is we try to blame the victim. When you have protesters that are threatening others, that are damaging property, they are not the victim. They are I don't even want to use the term oppressor, because that's Marxist talk. Right? They are the perpetrator. They have committed the crime. And if you do the crime, be prepared to do the time. That's the way I think of things. But I think there's also more we need to see what's going on here. This Palestinian, pro-Palestinian uprising made its way to George Washington University. And I think it's here where we've got some recordings of some of the speeches that were made that we see maybe this isn't simply a pro-Palestinian demonstration. Listen to the audio quality is not great. I've cleaned it up as much as I can, but you can hear what one speaker is talking about.
And once we understand that imperialism is the highest stage of capitalism, and that the police as an institution exists to be in service to capital, it becomes clear that if we want to bring an end to police terror in all of its forms, and if we want to bring an end to imperialism, we will have to bring an end to the capitalist system that gave birth to the vote.
Oh, so it's not simply about the Palestinian, the plight of the Palestinian, the alleged genocide. No. This here, with Palestinian flags waving, is about getting rid of capitalism. They label it as imperialism. They label it as a lot of things. We need to get rid of capitalism. The monetary system that has brought more people out of poverty than ever in history. The system that says you're rewarded for your merit, not for your color, your skin. See, this isn't simply a question of propaganda. This is a Marxist event. This is a Marxist demonstration. And in that, they also call for a Marxist revolution.
This wretched system, there's only one way. Just like that chant that we enjoy so much, there is only one solution. Intifada, revolution. We must have revolution so we can have a socialist reconstruction of the United States of America.
I love it when people, that's why freedom of speech, I want this person speaking. Why? Because he's telling us what this is really all about. This isn't about the Palestinians, at least not this George Washington University demonstration. It's not about the Palestinians. It's about destroying America. It's about destroying the 234 years of history that we have, the benefits, the society, all the rights and freedoms. It's about destroying all of that for this elusive socialist utopia that no matter how many times they've tried it, it has not only utterly failed, it has utterly failed at the cost of millions of people's lives. Please speak more. Your words are wonderful. This is about a revolution. It's about tearing down the United States and rebuilding it in a socialist structure, the one that destroyed the Soviet Union, that destroyed so much of Eastern Europe, that has turned the North Korea into a peasant country, a country that you know, North and South Korea, same people, same land, drastic difference in their future. You want to know the difference between a socialist America and a freedom and a capitalist America? Take a look at the peninsula of Korea. Do you want to live in South Korea where there's light at night and heat and food? Or do you want to live in North Korea where it's dark at night and there's no heat, little food? See, that's what I want people to be able to speak. Let us know. Show us just exactly what it is you're calling for. Show us exactly who, what it is you want our future to be. Then let the American people decide. You know, what I find interesting is all these calls for the socialist utopia, no one ever answers the question, if it's so wonderful, why do you have to force it on people? If socialism is so great, why must you force it on people? Believe it was Lenin that was, I don't remember if it was Engels or Lenin that was talking about how capitalism is so dangerous to socialism because in a capitalist society, the people are happy. And if they're happy, they're not going to want a socialist revolution. So we have to make people unhappy so that we can have our socialist revolution. Kind of like this guy says. You have to make people afraid of the police and this dreaded imperialism so that they will have the revolution. So they'll suffer the pain of revolution to put in place a system that has utterly failed each and every time it is tried, that has led to the death of over 100 million people in the 20th century alone. I think the only way you could get people to go that way is to first lie to them and then force them to comply. Now, does that mean America is perfect? Absolutely not. I think does that mean that capitalism and the dreaded democracy is perfect? No. In fact, I claim democracies are evil. But what's interesting is when you talk about a Western democracy, they're really talking about a republic, not a true democracy. But I believe it was Winston Churchill that said, you know, the Western capitalist democracy is the worst form of government in the world, except for every other one that we've ever tried. I'm not saying it's perfect, and I'm not saying we couldn't do things better. But yeah, tell me what it is you want. You want to put in place a socialist system where things are rationed, everything's government controlled. You get everyone's equally miserable, except for the few elites who live high on the hog, just like those in the Soviet Union and in communist China. That's what you want for us. Take a look at Korea, and tell me. Do you want to live in the socialist North or the capitalist South? By all means, let us know what you have in store for us. Let us know what your plans are. I think once we expose them to the light of truth, maybe we won't have to be so worried about what these foolish people are talking about anymore. Also, it should inform us in what businesses we want to do, who we want to do business with. If you're considering sending a child to school, if you're considering going to school, do you want to go to a Columbia University where your life can be threatened and nothing happens? Do you wish to go to a George Washington University where, hey, let's promote socialism? Yeah, great. Woo, let's everybody die. Maybe you'd rather look at a University of Texas or maybe even a USC. See, the point is, we make decisions with our dollars every day. And you don't have to do business with people that hate America, that hate our rights. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, and they share your values. They offer the very best 4G and 5G coverage on all the networks all across the country with 100% US-based customer support. Now you can use your cell phone to take a stand against the left, against the Marxists, against those who don't want to make America great again. They want to destroy what America is. Patriot Mobile offers discounts for veterans and first responders, NRA members, and even families with multiple lines. You can find out more by going to patriotmobile.com/constitution and be sure to use the code Constitution at checkout to get free activation. So once again, go to patriotmobile.com/constitution, use the code Constitution at checkout to get free activation, and use your cell phone to make America great, not to turn us into a socialist despotic disaster like those at George Washington University want to turn us into. While you're at it, you know what? Check out AmericaOutloud.news every day. I go there every day for news and information, for things I report to you and things I talk to my family about. See, it's more important than ever that we do something. We do our part. Take this story I was just talking about with George Washington University. Sure, you listen to that. You can find it somewhere, but share it. Find the articles, the podcasts, the videos. I've got some really powerful articles coming up in the next couple of weeks, but they don't do any good if you don't share them. See, by sharing this information, you're not simply sharing a news article. You're not even simply exercising your freedom of the press. You're working with all of us to help secure the blessings of liberty for all of us.
Many voices, one freedom, united in the First Amendment. Our goal is to herald the voice of genuine liberty at AmericaOutloud.news, a place where you'll find the naked truth expressed with a patriotic heart. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
I'm so confused. I don't know what to do.
I'm afraid of going to the hospital.
My doctor tells me nutrition doesn't work.
Trust is earned. We are the Energetic Health Institute, and we want to earn your trust. Natural medicine, holistic nutrition, detoxification, fasting, cellular healing, and so much more. Remember, the best way to be free is to be healthy. So stop being a patient and start being a student at energetichealthinstitute.org.
You've all heard Dr. McCullough and others share over and over the value of keeping your sinuses cleansed. It's a smart move all year, but even more so when we're cooped up inside. It's not really open for debate any longer. Those that live smart and live well pay attention to nasal and oral hygiene. Cofix RX has just the tools for the job with our nasal and throat cleanse. Click the Cofix RX banner on AmericaOutloud.shop to get 20% off your entire order. That's right, AmericaOutloud.shop. Use coupon code OUTLOUD. That's coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off your entire order.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution study. Today we're talking about freedom of pro-Palestinian speech. Now, we did look at quite a bit at what was going on in Columbia and several other universities and how they dealt with this. And again, the right of people to peaceably assemble and express ideas, I not only allow it, I encourage it. Because as we've seen by listening to what some of these people have said, they're back wano crazy. But we'd only know that if we actually hear them. Silencing them means we don't get to hear the crazy that comes out of these people's mouths. Now, here's another perfect example. So recently we had the White House Correspondents' Dinner, a self-congratulation if I've ever seen one. And there were several of these, you know, pro-Palestinian group heckling journalists. Now, I say this is hilarious because, well, many of those same journalists seem to be on the pro-Palestinian side. Now, some of them were just out in the street and being a nuisance. Hey, it's a free country. Some of them blocked traffic. Now you're in, now you're pushing it, right? Because it's one thing to call people names and be you know, offensive and ridiculous. It's another to actually disrupt people's right to go about their business. They call them die-ins, where they just kind of lie like they're dead. All again in this idea A that the Palestinians are suffering from a genocide, and that somehow those in the White House are all in for Israel and just promoting the, you know, the genocide against the Palestinians. And that really that the journalists care. So again, some of those, again, we're seeing, dealing with the line and where that edge is. We need to understand, we don't simply want to allow these people to speak. We want to hear what they have to say because it really shows just how stupid they are. For example, there's a several of these pro-Palestinian groups that have finally started being dealt with by the universities. They've had their tent cities torn down. Several of them have been arrested. And now they're crying. See, they're calling for amnesty and the erasure of their arrest records and for their student records to have the suspensions removed from their student records because, well, but that might be that might hurt us in the future. Well, you should have thought about that before you started infringing on the rights of other people. I mean, I'm not surprised. The self-entitlement that is part of the Marxist crowd leads me to fully expect people to act this way. You want to act like, you know, like you're big, you're bad, until something actually happens to you, and then you start pouting and crying like a little baby. I have absolutely no respect for that, none whatsoever. You know what? If you can't do the time, then don't do the crime. And the fact that this will have a long-term impact, well, now maybe you've learned a lesson. You've learned that, you know, there are consequences for your actions. And, you know, maybe if you had kept it to, oh, I don't know, the legal demonstrations, you know, peacefully, you know, keeping it to speech and not actions, not violence, not threats. And while I'm at it, I haven't mentioned this before, but I want to bring this up. And this whole idea of, well, hate crimes are one of those boogeymen. It's another myth. See, some crimes involve hate, some of them don't. But just because you say something that someone else finds hateful does not make it a crime. Now, you go back to the gentleman I was showing the video from at the beginning of the program. He hates. It's obvious by his words. He hates. That doesn't make his hate a crime. I think it makes him foolish. I think it makes him detestable, but it doesn't make him a criminal. Acting on his hate, encouraging others to act on his hate, that now is where we're approaching criminal. But again, that's not what we're talking about the vast majority of the time. And the ones that really get me, the ones that really aggravate me are those that go after children. Yes, okay, college students are basically big children nowadays, but no, I'm talking about real children. And the fact, the parents who do absolutely nothing, sometimes even encourage it. For example, I've talked before about drag queen story hours and why we want to sexualize our children. He said, Paul, we're talking about Palestinians. What does that have to do with drag queen story hour? Well, it's this dude who goes by the name Little Miss Hotness. I guess apparently he's actually a Jewish professor in Massachusetts. And he was doing his little drag queen story hour with a bunch of poor, innocent, unsuspecting little children. Not only being sexualized by this pervert, but he turned it into a Free Palestine chant. He's up on the stage saying, if you are a drag queen and you know it and you really want to show it, Free Palestine. I find this absolutely laughable. Because if Mr. Little Miss Hot Mess were to show up in drag in Palestine, his life wouldn't be worth a plug nickel. Palestine is a Muslim area, and Muslims really don't like this type of perversion. So here you have a Jewish college professor, at least that's what I've read in the article, dressed up as a drag queen, calling for Free Palestine, the very same Palestine that would kill him for showing, for being out in public in his Little Miss Hot Mess costume. See what I mean? You don't want to shut these people up. They prove just how stupid they are. And for all the parents of those poor little children, you show us who you are as well. You're more interesting in apparently in sexualizing your children than actually protecting them from the evils of the world, allowing them to grow up before they have to learn to deal with the difficulties and the strife and the things that mankind does to each other. No, you're just going to throw them in the deep end, steal their childhood, steal their innocence, and then complain. Actually, I don't even know. Maybe some complained, maybe didn't. When one of your little drag queen story hour guys goes far beyond what you wanted them to. Now, before we close out, I have a couple other articles I want to look at. They're not specifically dealing with the pro-Palestine movement. But I think you'll follow along when you see why it's important we expose people to information. So I was having a discussion on a Zoom call a few weeks ago. We were talking about how it seems like just about everything government touches, they ruin. For example, education. Study.com has taken data from what they call the nation's report card. And you know what they find? U.S. students are still dropping in proficiency in, of all things, history and civics. Maybe that explains the pro-Palestinian movement, the push for socialism. I mean, after all, if you went to a school that can't teach you history or basic civics, why would you not promote an idea that has been debunked by history? I mean, I'm sure the vast majority of these college nincompoops that are promoting this Marxist idea they went to the same to government-run schools, which means their proficiency in history and civics are probably lower than they've been in history. Maybe that help explains why you deal with such stupidity on campus. And maybe since most of the people who run these campuses, well, they went through the school system and they've grown up in this you know, academic world where you don't learn things like history and you don't learn things like civics. Maybe that's why so many of them refuse to actually hold people accountable for their criminal actions. So maybe there is more of a link here than we thought of. And maybe our lack of education explains another story that I saw. See, there's a gentleman in New York City who's being tried for making what are called ghost guns, right? Homemade firearms. He's a hobbyist. He gunsmiths as a hobby. It's something he enjoys doing. According to the defense attorney, the judge in the case, an Abina Darke, explicitly told the defense, quote, "Do not bring the Second Amendment into this courtroom. It doesn't exist here, so you can't argue Second Amendment. This is New York." Personally, that would have been my cue to go, okay, then I'm calling for a mistrial. Because, judge, your job is to uphold the law, is to decide controversies based on the law, not to throw the Constitution out just because you don't like it. See, the Constitution is not only supreme in the state of New York, it's supreme over you. Now, I don't know what the defense has done with this, but to me, this is right there. This is grounds for a mistrial. You have a judge that violates her oath of office, that is attempting to bias the jury by not allowing the supreme law of the land to, quote unquote, exist in her courtroom. Well, guess what? The Second Amendment does exist. And along with the Sixth Amendment, the right to a trial, a fair trial by a jury of your peers. And if you don't like that judge, well, then get another job. Because, again, I haven't seen what happened. I haven't seen any follow-up on this. But this is the type of stuff, letting this judge get away with this. Again, I call for a mistrial. I'd file a complaint with the ethics board. I'd file a complaint with, I'd ask the this person's member of the assembly to consider impeachment. A sitting judge has no authority to say the Constitution, any part of the Constitution, doesn't exist in her courtroom. That it doesn't exist in the state of New York, period. End of story. And if we bother to learn some history and some civics, maybe someone like this would not have been hired. Maybe someone, she would have gotten the education that would have shown her how foolish this is. And I hope there's enough civics left that this individual and his attorney are taking the appropriate constitutional remedy, seeking the appropriate constitutional remedy to this this bad judge, her behavior. So as you wrap this up, what have we learned? We learned freedom of speech is a wonderful thing. The last thing we should be doing is trying to shut people up, because you learn so much. We can show just how foolish, just how ridiculous so many of their ideas are if we just let them speak and then are brave enough to counter. See, it's point counterpoint. And that's part of the problem. See, we let people speak. We forget that our job is to counterpoint that, is to point out the fallacies, the errors, and the just plain stupidity of what's being said. Whether it's the guy on video basically saying we should be allowed to kill him because he wants to kill people, or the idiots at the correspondence dinner who are more than happy to infringe, to basically make a nuisance of themselves, the students, right? That the students that want to be a nuisance but don't want to be held accountable. They want amnesty for their illegal activities. I think it's our responsibility to protect everyone's right to freedom of speech. And it's also our responsibility to protect everyone's right to be at liberty, to not be enslaved by the people that would abuse their freedom of speech, their freedom to peaceably assemble. We have to do that. Sure, we expect, school administrators and police and government actors to do this, but we can't expect them to do it alone, because then you end up with a judge who doesn't want the Second Amendment in a courtroom. We have to do it. We have to hold them accountable. We have to be part of the solution. See, if we're standing with those who are standing for right, Don't let them stand alone. Let's stand with them. Let's help protect them. Let's have their back. That's part of what we're doing with the Patriots program, especially the Minutemen, the men and women prepared to stand up and do something to help protect the rights of others and do so at a minute's notice. Never be afraid of somebody else's ideas. Only be afraid of being unwilling to challenge them. And if they won't accept a challenge, then you know their ideas have no merit. And if all they can do is call you names like fascist, Nazi, imperialist, whatever, no, they have no argument. When I learned this, it was a light bulb moment. People call me names because they don't actually have an argument that counteracts what I've said. They've got nothing left but name calling. It means I've won. So when I see people assembling to call me names, I'm in their head. I got free real estate. I've won the argument. I just have to be willing to stand on that and to tell others, which is kind of what we try to do here at the Constitution Study, which is why I hope you'll come back and join us every weekday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time for the Constitution Study on America Out Loud Talk Radio, or heard on the iHeartRadio Network. You can listen to my shows on podcasts if you can't listen live. The episodes go to podcast generally a day or two after they're heard on talk radio. Listen in your favorite podcast app, but do me a favor. Subscribe to the show. Leave the episodes ratings and reviews. It helps other people find the Constitution Study. I've had several people contact me saying they found the Constitution Study by searching for podcasts. Spread the news. You can find the links you need at the homepage at americaoutloud.news. But you need to share them. See, if you don't share them, if you don't let other people know that this type of content is out there, how will they know they can find it? So when you share these links, you're doing more than just sharing the Constitution Study or America Out Loud. You're sharing the blessings of liberty.